You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters. Issue 77 of Geek Watch 1.
It's here, baby!
Kylan's been waiting for 10 issues
no,
to get to this.
No, it's been 8 long issues. 8 long. Started from 69, I started counting down. Eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. And here we are, folks.
Didn't you mean
here we are.
69, 70, 71, 72,
73? No, don't die.
He was counting down.
Oh, count down, man. Yeah. Count down.
Count down to move up.
That's right, because to understand the future, you got to go back in time. You better grab the mustard and catch up. Know what I'm saying, bro? Sorry.
What? Once again, we are here. Once again, we are here at our monthly Meeplecast. Today is actually on Halloween Day. So happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. Happy Sam. Hey, happy word to your moms.
And once again, Kylan's in Meeplecast form.
Yes, I am.
Well,
without any alcohol.
Without any alcohol, like a transformer.
That's because Nate is across the way from him. And as soon as Vernon gets here, it's going to get even worse.
Worse or better?
That's right.
So,
y'all don't know.
Kylan, you said you have a countdown list that you brought for
No, I have the reason for the countdown.
The reason for the countdown?
I have the reason for the season.
Uh-oh.
Because I want to take this opportunity right now, just bring the mood down a little bit, if you will. Now, Geek Watch 1, like, we try to be the source of all things geek to all people. But we're human. And it means we make mistakes. And we made a great mistake earlier this year. I'm not proud of it. Not proud of it at all. I'm here to make it right.
We're waiting.
Yes.
You know, people take time. And they want to talk about how Captain America turned 75 this year, and that's important. Wonder Woman turned 75 this year.
Yes.
That's important. And Green Arrow turned 75 this year.
And Aquaman.
See, but you know what? There's one out there who's had a birthday. And we for one reason or another. No, you can't look at
that. What you got?
Whoa.
I'm waiting to see where he's going with this.
We made a mistake.
We talk about Aquaman.
What is it?
If you've been here to begin with, you'd know. So yes, stand.
If someone ordered my drink when they were supposed to.
Well, I, you grown.
Wait, I was going to say.
So we, you know, we I want to take this opportunity right now. We're going to go in the Wayback Machine. Okay. We're going to go back to February, January, 1976. Ooh. The United States is about to celebrate 200 years of liberty and glory. A young Kylan.
Where is he going with this?
Let him go.
A young Kylan is 5 years old.
Just got out of Nam.
Just got home from Nam, and he's still trying to find his way in this world. And DC Comics introduces a new member of the Super Family. Someone who, you know, it's somebody who brings a bit of humanity, if you will, to the family.
Nah.
I think so. 40 years, and we I know it's been 40 years right now, and we missed out on this. And I'm going to double down on this. In fact, I will say I am going to double D on this right now. 40 years ago, Power Girl was
talking
gonna say he's double D's. Huh?
Yeah, I am gonna double down. I will double D down on this right now. Power Girl was introduced to comic book fans 40 years ago. DC comic fan, and you met. How'd you miss this?
We've been so wrapped up in the big ones that have been coming through. 75 year anniversary.
We're talking about big ones. We're talking about Kara Zor-El.
A pair of big ones. Come on.
Kara Zor-El, Power Girl, Superman's cousin. She's from Krypton. She was on a ship. She came to Earth. That's what I'm just saying.
At least one of the Earths.
She can come one Earth, two Earths. I don't know which one can hold her. I don't know. I'm just saying. she's Kryptonian, and she was created by Jerry Conway, Rick Estrada, and Wally Wood, who were some of the greats. And, she's been around a long time in different variations and different, there's been different changes to her.
Many different sizes.
I'm actually kind of proud. Kylan's keeping this pretty clean.
I'm just saying, I just wanted to take this opportunity because we've been counting down, and I'm just saying that...
On 77.
On the 77, talking about 40, that's a big number right there. I want y'all to take a moment and think about how big 40 is.
I don't want to have to think about that.
That's two score.
I don't want to have to think about that.
I refuse.
40's coming real close for me, and I don't want to talk about that.
Hey, 40's good, man. 40's real good.
Please, we're past
I got that coming next week.
I'm not.
Or next, not next week, next month. Next month.
Can we all appreciate that Kylan just dropped two score? Like, it was just me, right? That was good.
But thank you, see? So I just wanted to... That's what the countdown was for y'all. Waiting to take this opportunity to right a wrong and hope that the listeners out there forgive us for the mistake that we made, and we'll just try to be better than we were yesterday.
Are we really going to have to keep an entire list of every single character and the major anniversaries?
That's the problem right now, especially with DC, like this year, with Wonder Woman and Arrow and Aquaman. There's a whole list, because after Superman and Batman dropped, it didn't take long to have a whole lot of superheroes out there. And many of the, especially the DC side, many of those heroes are still around today.
Yep.
Marvel, they introduced some guys back in the 40s and stuff, but...
There's not as many long-term. That's true.
Marvel didn't have as linear of a history.
Yeah.
DC had a linear history of moving from the beginning. They've been DC Comics all the way through. Marvel has had a more storied history, but some of their characters are just as strong.
For 75 years, they dropped the ball on Green Arrow. They really didn't come up, because that was back in September.
It was.
And they came out with, some artwork.
The only thing, Comixology had a sale.
Yeah. I mean,
Aquaman, you gotta think, Aquaman, arguably, is the more popular and bigger character. He's always been part of the Justice League. Yeah. He's always been, most fans currently don't like him as much. But at one point, he was just as popular as all the other heroes.
We'll be liking him a lot more soon.
Well, but they didn't do anything for Aquaman.
But you know what? Submariner is old as Aquaman. Because Submariner was back in the day.
I think they're around. Because that was his main villain. Wasn't it? Or was he?
No, Submariner was an Aquaman villain.
Oh, that's right. He's Marvel.
Yeah.
They're right around.
How did you mess that up?
Because I was never in a Submariner.
She wasn't.
I'm not into the fishy people.
He's not fishy. Well, okay. He's Atlantean, but he's got wings on his feet. That's pretty awesome.
He's an Atlantean who flies. Look out.
That's right.
And green Speedo.
Well, that's okay, because Aquaman wears green tights.
I don't know. Jason Momoa wears those tights, let me tell you.
Cam,
you've been wanting to say something. Say it.
He's trying not to say something,
Go ahead, man. Speak your mind. You're 21.
Don't hold back.
Submariner was 39. 1939.
Okay.
I'm going to need you to stop. I'm laws. Nate's a little lost.
Because
he had the confused look too for a second.
But
he might have figured it out. I don't know. And then you started talking about fish people with wings on their feet and tiny
toes. These are still the same.
I'm going to read some comics.
These are made
up.
Obviously, a Marvel fan is trying to listen in right now.
No, I play video games.
Take that from him.
No, I play video games.
Take this from him.
What's wrong? Are you okay, man?
I'm fine.
We're talking comic books, man.
I play video games.
Is too strong for you?
He put
a lot of comics for me.
You understood, right? See, your girlfriend knew what we were talking about.
See, she's
welcome. Have you met her parents?
That's because she's smart.
No, I only met her last month.
She's she knows about the guy walking around in the green Speedo and the wings on his feet. Man, if I...
And she's, okay. You know what? Right. She's trying. Right. She's already designing her costume for next year.
But this is a real question. Does she know the strep guy in Schenectady?
I don't know. You have to ask her. Does she know the guy in Schenectady? I don't know, man.
She might know him.
I want him to come down to Con on the Cob, meet me in the parking lot out in Richfield.
You play some cards.
We're gonna play some cards. We're gonna do some hopscotch. We're gonna do some. I don't know. I ain't scared of you. I'm just saying that right now.
See, that's a, someone needs to.
The dude's confused. The dude's connected with the striped shirt. The one that
he's the one guy that's negative. He's against everything.
Waldo.
Yeah, not Waldo. No, we all right.
We gotta get someone to do a cosplay of that at Con the Cob out of nowhere.
Waldo,
the guy in the striped shirt from Schenectady.
Hey, Kylan, I got something bad. Something I have been trying not to tell you for a while, but
you know him.
I'm originally from Schenectady, and I often wear striped shirts.
But it's not you, man. You're here now. The guy in Schenectady is there now.
But when is there here?
There here is here right now.
Okay.
But here's there then.
No, it's not.
Stop! Right. I did not take an English class for a reason.
We're now confusing. We're confusing Cam again.
I did now not take English.
Okay. Well,
timey-wimey.
Yeah.
Wobbly.
Okay. Well, I do have. Carrington gives his apologies. He wasn't able to actually step in here with us this week, but I do have a little bit of Meeple news.
What?
This Saturday, as of this recording. On November 5th, they're doing their annual Extra Life Half Marathon, playing Star Wars Edge of the Empire Beyond the Rim. 12-hour session. They still have spots. They are running two tables. It's a $40 buy-in, and all the money from this, and I believe they usually do, not auctions, but raffles and things too, don't they?
Yeah, they did a little bit of everything.
They did that last year, because Vicky and I played in this last year. All of the money goes to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital around here, which for us is Akron Children's Hospital.
Okay.
But if you're not in this area, this weekend also, I believe, Cam, you said you guys are going to watch an Extra Life thing, right?
Yeah, we're watching Extra Teams.
So I believe this weekend is just, in general, everybody's Extra Life marathons. So look out. If you can't make it to the Meeple here, there's somewhere around you that's doing one of these Extra Life marathons. And it, whoever's doing it, it supports their local Children's Miracle Network hospital. Kids always need help, man.
Not always. I didn't need help.
Okay, all kids except for Kylan need help. So help out the kids if you get a chance. Go to Extra Life's website. I'm not sure what the website is, but if you search Extra Life, you're going to find it. And they will direct you to someone who's doing this locally. If not, show your support and get on. Twitch is going to have feeds all over the place of people doing this. YouTube Live. I'm sure Facebook Live will have this now.
Hold on. The website is extra-life.org.
And I know we've looked at it a little bit. We've had Extra Life on here talking, and we know this is actually an up-and-up organization. When you donate to them, this money goes directly to Children's Miracle Network. There is no, like, overhead within Extra Life that they're taking some of this money. Right. All of the money goes, 100% of it, to the Children's Hospital. So if you're looking for a charity or you want to help out, this is a way of gamers and geeks to help out the kids. So that's all I had on that, but...
If we play, can I put the grenade in the bad guy? His pants?
You did it last time.
Yeah, I know.
She's playing a, what was it, a long shot assassin or something.
Sniper.
She snuck up and grabbed a grenade and dropped it in a dude's pants and walked away.
Did you roll under his body?
I was, like, critting 100 at a time.
Yeah, she was rolling, like, crazy numbers. It was weird. So, we're not going to be able to make it this year, but I know we're definitely going to support it somehow. We'll figure out a way. So, that's basically what they're doing at the Meeple right now. So, moving on from there...
Oh, and they also, Meeple has started their new milkshakes for November.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's Star Wars themed milkshakes.
Boys are already at that yard. You see them out there? Boys
on boys
on boys.
Those milkshakes do bring the boys to the yard.
I know the Luke Shake Walker I just had was amazing. Peanut butter cinnamon.
Ooh,
there
you
go. Sounds yummy.
Yeah. The other one, Shake 3PO. Did anybody get that one? See.
That's the one that had, like, blueberry or something.
No, what was the Shake 3PO?
Strawberry butterscotch.
Yeah, butterscotch strawberry.
And the other one was chocolate malt cherry.
Are they fun time ones with a little bit of fun in them?
Mine wasn't.
You can add fun.
Cameron's is.
You can have a relatively full bar of good alcohol here, and you can add whatever you like to your milkshakes.
And Cameron,
except moonshine.
They may have that, too.
Well, you know, you get a
con
flask.
Con on the cob?
Oh, there's plenty of flasks to run around Con on the cob.
No, not flask moonshine.
Can that be the first After Dark? I'm going to keep going with this until it happens.
Are you coming to Con on the cob?
Why not?
we could just lock him in the kids' room.
Thank you. You know what? Geek Watch 1 After Dark.
If we do a Geek Watch 1 After Dark at Con on the Cob, it's got to be in the creepy clown room.
Geek Watch 1 After Dark after party.
I'm so
That's
tired.
What will happen. Like, nothing will
Yeah, yeah. That means I got to set up all the mics as soon as we're done with our party.
You have a portable, it's okay.
Huh?
You have a portable, it's okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Portable.
Yeah, we'll have the portable sound system there too, the recording system, so we can do whatever. So,
you can do what you
want. Okay, I have not done in a while. I have a Deadpool download, which I'm sure a bunch of you have already heard this, but there was news that Tim Miller quit Deadpool over some kind of issues with Ryan Reynolds. They were having.
That's different because the two of them were best buds for the first one.
They were having irreconcilable differences and they split up.
No!
Mommy, Daddy, so
apparently,
funny.
There were two versions of the Deadpool movie, and Tim Miller really wanted a higher budget movie because they can get the budget now. Whereas Ryan Reynolds is like, no, look what we did with the first one. We should kind of stick to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tim Miller basically was like, well, we can't do that. I can't go with that. So he left. But the good news is they already have a new director. And it is David Leitch, who directed John Wick.
Okay.
So he knows how to do uber violence and action and that kind of thing. And I just saw that today Tim Miller is onto another movie. He's developing a Sonic the Hedgehog movie with Sony. So, you know.
Live? Wait. Is this live action?
I don't know. It just says developing Sonic.
Tell me that wouldn't be kind of crazy seeing a live action.
That would be creepy.
Deadpool. Sonic.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like Sonic is the old announcement. Sonic is scraping the bottom of the barrel. Going,
yeah, I mean, like,
I thought there was more here.
Like, Sonic usually, was scraping the bottom of the barrel after Sonic 1.
You usually kind of try to make these video game movies out of like current popular video games, but apparently not. So,
well, I think Sonic is coming out with another one.
Don't talk about it.
They haven't been good in a really long time.
Exactly.
The last
Why are they doing this?
I don't know.
See,
because
Sonic,
the last one was Colors, and Colors was amazing. And
see,
then the Wii messed
Sonic
up.
Was Sega's answer to Mario.
And then Mario
and that's all
like,
we gotta say.
That's cute.
Because there was Mario.
I'm gonna go home and watch the Mario.
Yeah,
I do.
Can we wait to see the live action?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
The Mario Brothers.
That's what he's talking about.
Which was technically the first steampunk movie.
That's right.
What do you mean he dies?
Oh yeah.
Why would you not want
to? Mario
compromise or
apparently not. Apparently, like Tim Miller was just convinced he needs to have a huge budget movie now. And I mean, the thing is, the budget's going to be bigger because they have Cable in the movie. Cable has to involve more CGI.
And you know, hey, if the cable companies have anything to do with this, that cable's going to be expensive.
That's right. But they still, of course, have not come down to a decision on casting Cable either. Apparently Domino might be in it too.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Uh-huh. And I get Ryan Reynolds. His stance on it, because like if you achieve that level of success with the budget with that original budget, I kind of get the feeling that you want to stay in your lane, and I see nothing wrong with that.
Well, I've seen plenty of sequels that they did a lot with such small amount of money, and then so that they did really well, so they had all this extra money. And then they tanked because they tried to do too much.
Then they try and use all that extra money and they don't need to.
I say the one that, for me, that jumps out is the worst case of this, that the first movie was awesome on no budget at all.
Right.
That they made the exact same movie again with a bigger budget was Evil Dead. Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. The Evil Dead 2 is the exact same movie with a whole lot more money. And it proves that whole lot more money doesn't help.
Nope, that's true.
The first one, I loved that movie. I loved Army of Darkness. Evil Dead 2... It was the exact same thing with more money for effects.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping no one would notice.
It was weird.
You didn't see the first one. Come see the second one.
I mean, it was an exact replica almost of the first one.
Yeah.
See,
like, I'm a
film student, so I know if you can get the budget, you get the budget. But do practical effects. Unless you have a good CGI artist, then you go.
Well, I mean, and that was the whole point with Deadpool. It was primarily practical, you know, except for Big Crow Man, but which had to, and, you know, be slow.
Certain things have to be CGI at this point.
But given the character that Deadpool is, it has to be practical anyways. He does all the fighting and the slashing and all, you know, I mean, it's going to be practical effects. So
yeah,
that's why I think they want to stick with that.
The small budget, yeah. But if you're going to get the extra money, put it where it needs to go. Not
a bigger helicarrier.
No, see, I'm paying
for
funny.
More X-Men characters to show up so that a mansion has people in it.
During that movie, something's going to be mentioned about all this, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's great.
I think they might have enough money so we can get, like, a fake Hugh Jackman.
yep.
That's possible. Yeah. But no, see, the problem is, the more money you get... The more stupid stuff they spend on.
Yes, exactly. The stupid stuff.
The more money they end up with, though, the more stupid stuff they spend it on. I mean, have you ever been on set for an actual full budget movie?
I'm a college student. I'm a sophomore in college.
It is stupid.
I was there at Waterworld. Like, what?
It's stupid. It's stupid the amount of money they spend on some stuff.
I know.
Waterworld?
That's right.
You just
name drop. Done.
Waterworld.
Why did you say Wally World?
Waterworld. Does anybody know about that?
Wally World.
Well, we know location.
No, but Waterworld, like that was in the sea. Yeah. like I don't even know how. When did that come out? Like
96 or 97?
96. 90s.
It was like a season of suck for him because he had Waterworld and then he had The Postman and then he had I don't know. It was just like the
well,
season.
It was like he felt that. Because he had a big epic movie that did so well, mm-hmm. he should do more big epic movies, and they will do well.
Yeah, it doesn't
see,
work like that.
If Waterworld had thrown so much money into it and made such a big deal, I thought it was a decent movie. It just wasn't as big as they wanted it to be.
Right.
It was actually not a terrible idea
some
in the way
of
the movie
flops
was done.
Aren't really all that bad when you go back and watch them.
Right.
They tend to drag on.
Exactly.
They overdo some of the effects.
The Postman. I loved the story in The Postman. It had a good story.
Yeah, but
it just wasn't executed all that well.
Right. Exactly.
I'm sorry that I went off topic here.
Yeah, you had to bring that up.
I'm sorry. Me, 9 years old, hanging out with Kevin Costner is kind of a big deal in my life. I really but you know, here we are today, and I'm not there anymore. So
and you have to remember, there are some flops that you know. They're still good, even though
like
they've been a flop.
Like Buckaroo Banzai.
Is
that what you're trying to say?
So you know what movie I'm saying.
Howard the Ducks.
fantastic.
Howard the Ducks.
There were quite a few fantastic flops.
I think three of them. We're working on four, I think.
They only flopped because Stan Lee wasn't in them.
Yeah.
Who's Stan Lee?
Flat Stanley, you know, you've heard of him.
What are the news we got going?
I think he made that
news. Okay, I want to be serious here for a minute, and I know we don't usually do this, but we used to talk about serious topics on the show once upon a time. And, I know.
Before I was here?
Yeah, it was.
Before I was.
In the beginning, we spoke about, Anyway, this past week, there's been a big issue about another creative individual leaving Twitter for bullying.
Oh.
And it was a big deal because she is a major writer, she's a novelist, and she was working for Marvel, and it has to do with Mockingbird, and what's her name? Chelsea Kane. Now, Mockingbird was canceled. The last issue came out last week, and Chelsea Kane put something out there on Twitter basically saying, you know, show Marvel you still want these female-driven comics with female heroes. Just from that tweet alone, not picking on people, nothing like that, she got blasted by essentially all men who decided that she had some kind of feminist agenda with her comic and was making political statements and people didn't want to read that, and obviously that's why it didn't sell, and they were not just trashing the comic that obviously they hadn't read, because I saw some of these screenshots of the tweets, they hadn't read the comic at all, and they were trashing it, they were trashing her. So basically she had enough and she was like, forget it, I'm leaving Twitter. And interestingly, she talked about how She's been in the publishing industry for years. She's a published novelist before she came to Marvel. She said she's never gotten treated like this until she entered the comics industry. And this is happening a lot in comics in general, that a lot of female writers are getting called out and picked on and on social media and other places. And I just kind of wanted to put it out there because it was big news. And so she left Twitter over that. And interestingly, Marvel canceled Mockingbird before the trade came out, which was just released.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because of all this, the trade reached number one on Amazon.
Good.
And now they're like, well, maybe that means Mockingbird can come back, but Chelsea Kane is not going to want to write it.
Yeah.
So it really sucks, and it also proves that you need to buy individual issues of comics. Like, if you want to support, whether it's a female writer and character or whatever, especially if it's a bit of a lesser hero that's not as popular or something and comes out with a new book, you have to buy these individual issues or they'll go by the wayside by the time the trade comes out and you won't get any more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just recently had a book that I was following ended last week due to poor sales. And the thing is, it's one of those things, like, I get, you know, you have limited funds and you can't buy all the comics. And it's like, well, okay, I'll wait till the trade comes out. And that's one thing when we're talking about an established title like Avengers or Justice League or something along the lines of that, or Spawn, for that matter. But if it's a new book or a new series, truth is, even if it's a new series for an established character, you would want to support that monthly, because a lot of these books, they're determined whether or not they get to stick around based on those weekly sales.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, but does Marvel actually, on their digital, do they have any that digital only? To where, because there's DC's done that with some of theirs, that especially if it is a miniseries run of like a six, mm-hmm. and it doesn't do well for the first three, they still have those books.
And so, plus it's cheaper too.
Yeah, instead of putting it, they'll actually flip it over and just put it onto Comicsology.
Well, ultimately, they'll end up on Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Even the unreleased stuff? If they have that?
Well, Marvel does. If they had it and it was unreleased, I don't know if they would actually.
So I know there's a couple of other companies that have done that too, that, you know what, this is not making enough to print them, but it cost us nothing to put it up digital.
Right.
And they'll actually continue the series digital for the, at least as far as they had made.
And the thing is with Mockingbird, this was a really good series. Like, I have all the issues. I read it. It's really good. And a lot of critics and other writers and artists and that, they really liked the book. But people didn't really give it a chance and they were waiting for the trade. So, just the fact that, you know, she just put out there a call to say, you know, let Marvel know this is the kind of book you still want and you appreciate, and then all these people attacked her. It was just pathetic.
And that's, people need to, on Twitter, and you're right, it's probably all men. And as a man, I can say, men are
You are fined one credit for a violation of the verbal morality statute.
Say it!
No!
Men are frelling smeggots.
Wow!
No,
from Bart.
Bart's right. I mean, earlier this summer.
How are you?
Earlier this summer, we saw. Oh gosh, what's her name?
Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones got bullied off of Twitter because of idiots.
Yeah.
And hers was even more severe. Hers was very racist and very misogynist compared to what Chelsea faced. But Chelsea got off quick. And Leslie Jones, thankfully, is back. She just decided, well, you know what? Forget it. I've got enough people on my side. I'm coming back.
And at that time, there was so much heat going around. I think every single female playing that movie should have got off Twitter because people were just ignorant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and see, and that's another thing, getting on that. The gaming here in the industry, it's been like that severe where they're like, what they call it, doxing. Mm-hmm. They even did it to Felicia Day, where they're releasing personal information, death threats, banking information. They were releasing everything.
Why? She's amazing.
Yeah,
it was just
what it is there was some females, like, there was some that made games by themselves or with groups, or even if it was like a group of a couple girls and a guy, they were attacking the women that were in that group because, like, an app or something that they did went really, really well, so they attacked the women. And that's when they started doxing. Like, some of them were scared for their lives. People were showing up at their houses.
Yeah, that was that whole Gamergate.
Yeah, the Gamergate. Yeah.
The
yeah.
problem yeah. is...
And Felicia Day stood up and said, you know, this isn't right, mm-hmm. and they turned around and did it to her.
The yeah. problem is, as women are being... The more they're being accepted into the geek society, mm-hmm. they've always been there.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're more in the mainstream being accepted in. You also have the exact opposite of all the guys in there that feel this way, that like, wait a minute, you're taking my spot or
well,
something like that,
there's,
which
there's
is not
ownership.
Right.
There's an ownership
They feel
issue.
Like this is a man thing, this is a, which
with,
is
especially
weird.
Especially with gaming and comics.
Well, I know. Well, the thing is, the problem is, the internet, and I've noticed this with not just with this, with many things in the world, the internet allows a very, very small minority to be very, very, very vocal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because... say you have a group of 100 people, you may have two people that feel this way.
Yeah.
But the people who don't feel this way don't say anything. So the two people that are there making noise look like the mass majority.
And that's just it. You have to have people willing to speak up and support those who are being attacked.
Exactly.
And because the ones who are attacking are going to keep doing it. And one of the biggest issues is that Twitter... They'll block people, they'll ban people from Twitter, but they're not doing enough. They're claiming they're doing all this stuff, but they wait until something escalates to a certain point
yeah.
before doing anything.
And the problem, too, Twitter's not the only social media platform.
Right.
You get blocked on Twitter, oh, I'm just going to go to the next one.
Yep.
Yeah, just make a new one.
And I had something to say on that. I don't understand the guys that do that, about they don't want girls to be in the nerd culture. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. I'm an outcast. So I don't.
No,
I
you're not.
If you go to the school I went to, I was.
Yeah.
So if you're being an outcast, I don't understand why you don't want other females to join, because you already know how that feels. So why would you
yeah.
want somebody else?
Well, no, see, here's what it is. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna say it right now.
Say it.
These guys. These guys are too used to smelling each other's funk in their mama's basement, and then they get scared. When there are women coming around messing up their vibe, messing up their
it's
bro
the
time.
It's the only way they can talk to women.
It's the only way they can talk to women. These are the very same guys when back in 2005 when I was going to, when I would go to a con and they would have the which one is the girls that would do that?
Suicide Girls.
The Suicide Girls would be at the con, right? These are the very same guys standing in the corner looking at the girls in their. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? Because I'm a well-adjusted nerd.
It's called communication.
It's called communication.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, on social media, there's a degree of separation. Mm-hmm. So you feel more comfortable being as crass and as rude and as mean as you mm-hmm. want that you would never do to someone's actual face.
And like I said, the
unless
ones that...
unless you're you.
I don't have a filter. But see, you're a man among men, so it's okay.
But like I said, yeah. the problem is... I mean, that is the problem, that there's this small minority that is very vocal... The real problem is the rest of us that actually look at that and say, dude, that sucks. That's terrible. But that's all we say. You don't actually pick yeah. up the keys.
But see, at least we're doing the right we're doing the right thing right now, because we're putting it out there. We're talking about it. Geek Watch 1 is making a stance. We're putting our foot down saying, we ain't taking the crap. We're
and
not going to be a part
what?
Of it.
There's nothing wrong yeah. with contacting your favorite comics publisher and telling them you want more women, you want more representation, you want more diversity in the comics. They do pay attention if there's enough people doing this.
Yes.
You can contact them via social media, or you can go old school and write to them or email them or something. They do
well,
have contact info.
That's one thing, actually, like with DC, with us doing superpowers now, DC superpowers. We've actually been reading comics now since June, because a lot of times I just couldn't afford comics. Now I'm kind of stuck buying them. But I'm surprised by how wide and diverse DC is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a representative of everybody in there.
And, yeah. And the major two, especially, they are making an effort.
Yes.
I mean, Marvel's making more of an effort, and the independent ones are the place where you really see the effort.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because you've got some that are 50, 60, 70% diverse, female, all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. So, I mean, they're making an effort, but you have to show that you support that effort.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Right, so.
Okay, that's my serious
yep.
moment for this time.
Now, now let's put away the soapbox and have some fun.
That's right.
So, do we have anything else before we get into... Miss Dawn found a bunch of Halloween specials. Because we decided last month that every podcast for Halloween does a Halloween scary movies and all the horror movies and all this has already been that. Well, the problem is everybody's done this. Everybody has a list of their top 10 favorite horror movies.
Yes.
Well, we're going a different route. Because one thing that everybody forgets is there are Halloween specials. Growing up, do you have stuff like, wasn't The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, was a Halloween special?
Mm-hmm.
There are stuff like that out there. I mean, there's not as much now as there was like when we were kids, kind of.
Well, the thing is, if you look it up, there's really not a lot of Halloween specials. There was a lot of
autumn
Halloween
and fall specials.
Halloween episodes of various TV shows.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
a big thing. That's always been a big thing. But finding just the specials themselves is actually a little more difficult.
Okay. Well, that's... Actually, Halloween seems like it's getting more and more popular every year as we go now. Because stuff like that you can find on TV now a lot more than you even could then.
Well, and you have channels like the former ABC Family. And,
yeah.
and,
wait, what?
They
changed it.
Freeform.
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 Wouldn't they? Yeah, yeah.
You don't have cable, that's why.
Cable is just like, what?
You know, and various other channels, and all the cable channels, and Sci-Fi Network, and all that kind of stuff, they create their own specials
mm-hmm.
now, and they show all the old ones, so it's not hard to find them.
So what do we have in the way of Halloween specials?
Well, okay, I figured, because we kind of had to go there, we'd start with the classic, and go with It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah. That's one that I think just about everybody's either seen, or at least heard of. Because I think that is actually one of the most popular ones they ever put out of the Peanut specials.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I own it on VHS.
I mean,
me too.
They came out with Funko Pops for...
oh, yeah.
Yes, they
do have a set
of
Funko Pops,
them.
Including Charlie Brown's very holy ghost outfit.
Well, there was a time when, because the specials were actually specials on TV, mm-hmm. that Peanuts actually, every other month or every month just about had a special.
Yes.
For every
day.
Time.
As it should
well, no,
as
interestingly,
it should be.
Interestingly, okay, it first aired on CBS, 1966. So it's definitely, it's an anniversary technically this year.
That's true.
But,
yeah.
But then ABC got it.
Mm-hmm.
And... this is one I've never seen. Maybe they have shown it, and I've turned it off before it started or something. But right after It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, ABC used to air You're Not Elected, Charlie Brown.
I
don't think I've ever heard of that one.
And yeah, it's because of the how close Halloween
yeah.
falls to election.
They
yeah.
used to play the magic one, and then they replaced it with the elected one.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so that was apparently a big thing that they always showed.
I vaguely remember that one.
And it was nominated for an Emmy. Didn't win one, but it was nominated for an Emmy.
Well,
and,
the impact it's had over time, it should have maybe one of those lifetime, not lifetime
right.
achievement, but that type of special award for this show.
Well, I mean,
because it has probably been shown every year since 66.
When it had its 40th anniversary in 2006, they actually released a special retrospective book that had... never before seen photographs and storyboards and all sorts of stuff like that, and interviews with the original child actors who were in it.
Who are all in their 70s now.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's the one that I think, it doesn't matter what generation you are, I think we've all seen it. We
oh,
all
yeah.
know it. And apparently, when this was first airing, the fact that Charlie Brown kept saying, I got a rock, according to Charles Schulz, creator of Charlie Brown and the Peanuts Gang, people felt so bad for him that they would they were sending bags and boxes of candy from all over the world to the studio marked just for Charlie Brown.
No.
There was a time, some people don't remember this, there was a time that the Peanuts, in the 80s and 90s, Peanuts have always been popular. And they had a resurgence a couple years ago when Charles Schulz actually ended up dying.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just... That
like,
happens.
He was
like, old. But there was a time in the 60s when the Peanuts were so popular that one of the chart-topping songs was actually about Charlie Brown on the radio.
It wasn't about that Charlie Brown, dude.
Well.
It said Charlie Brown.
That's
yeah,
right.
No, there was.
You know that pushed that song, though. The
yeah.
fact that that was in there
Snoopy
pushed
songs.
The song.
That's right. That's
There's
right.
been
there are multiple
Snoopy
ones.
Songs. I mean, the Peanuts, that's a show we should do at some point.
Bro.
I'm not a big fan.
Bro.
What?
I will replace her then for that show.
Because, well, no,
you.
The impact on pop culture that Peanuts have had warrant us at some point doing a Peanuts retrospective.
And I mean, if you don't know this, when you were a kid, like, unless this was just a me thing, did anyone else go to a live Peanuts stage show?
I remember hearing about it.
Yeah.
I've never been there.
I'm so jealous. What? Really?
I went to, yeah.
There was actually...
And they wore the big dresses.
There was
a
Peanuts Broadway musical.
There was, a few years ago.
I remember the Broadway musical.
And actually, if you go to Cedar Point still has a license and all the Peanuts
yeah,
characters
are
up there and all
Snoopy
around.
Snoopy all over the place there.
Snoopy.
There
you go.
I think maybe that's why I like Bob Newhart so much, because he kind of... Bob Newhart kind of reminds me of Charlie Brown a little bit.
You know?
Well, he is kind of. He's especially with his early stand-up.
Yes.
When he was kind of like, he did Rodney Dangerfield before Rodney Dangerfield.
Right, exactly.
See?
I
go with that.
So I went kind of chronologically, roughly.
So next up, I had a couple of episodes of The Muppet Show from the 70s. From the 70s.
Yes.
One of them had Vincent Price in 1976. They did things like a House of Horrors skit and all these little skits and things from his horror movies that were
Oh, nice.
But the ending song was You've Got a Friend. Vincent Price sang You've Got a Friend.
Oh, yeah. Well, this actually fits in with, I was listening to another podcast today, and they were actually talking, you'd remember this, what was it, the House of Dr. Frankenstuff or something like that? It was a Canadian thing that they had that, I guess Vincent Price was on this show, and what it was, I guess, after he had done all his horror movies and made his name huge, I guess there was a time when he was actually trying to break into kids' TV, knowing that you...
Because he was on Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo. And what it is he knew that... the way the story goes that has been put out there is he knew that the kids, as they start to grow up, are going to recognize him from when they were kids, loving this guy, and start checking out his movies again.
Even if you didn't know his face, you knew his voice.
Exactly.
Yes, Michael Jackson was a big reason.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And another one a couple years later was The Muppet Show had Alice Cooper.
Oh, I remember.
I gotta see that one. Alice Cooper on The Muppets.
Can I just say, most of the stuff on this list, go to YouTube. You can look it up. They have clips of everything. They have full shows. Yeah, because I watched some of the Alice Cooper one today. and he was like, he basically dressed as the stereotypical traditional Dracula throughout. He had the cape, and he had a bit of, you know, blood around the mouth, that kind of thing. And of course, the big black eyes, as Alice Cooper has to have. And on The Muppet Show, even though we know The Muppet Show wasn't entirely for kids, on The Muppet Show, he performed Welcome to My Nightmare. And with a bunch of ghostly, creepy-looking Muppets. And he also did his ballad, You and Me. It's a rock ballad of Alice Cooper's. It is actually his song. But it was done as a duet with a bird puppet. It's the weirdest thing to watch.
As Muppet Show stuff should be.
It's the weirdest thing to watch. But yeah, so if you know what? If you've got a few minutes, go to YouTube and look up Alice Cooper on The Muppet Show. Trust me, it's worth it.
Just if you have a minute, just go look up The Muppet Show on YouTube. All the episodes are there.
All the episodes, or just clips, the best of, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. See, I liked The Muppet Show, but I was a big fan of Fraggle Rock.
Yes.
And which that's
actually,
yes.
We talked about that a couple episodes ago, that HBO is remastering all of Fraggle Rock and it's coming back. So.
I'm super excited about that.
But all the Muppet Show clips are on there. It's kind of awesome to just spend hours on YouTube. Now, one that I never heard of, I've never seen this, is from 1977, Halloween is Grinch Night.
What? Okay, is this Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, remember that.
Yeah, it's a Grinch. It came after The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, but it's a prequel to The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
I remember being a kid and liking it.
And back then, it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because they're like, oh, Grinch.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I remember being a kid not liking it. Like, I was like maybe about 5 minutes into it.
And it's about, like, the Grinch terrorizing the town, and then some kid goes missing, and the Grinch helps him, and blah, blah, blah. The Grinch is good in the end.
Well, that's because it's Dr. Seuss. They're all morality stories. They have to be a good guy.
This won the 1977 Emmy Award for Outstanding Animated Program.
Okay.
And you can see it on YouTube, and it does not look that great.
That tells you. Wait, what else was in that category?
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. I don't know what the competition was, but apparently it wasn't much.
Must have been a slow year.
Exactly. Yeah. What year was this?
1977.
77,
huh? If you wonder.
Yeah. Wait a minute, 77, wasn't that the year? No, the holiday special was 78, wasn't it?
What?
Star Wars holiday special.
Yeah,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
So, the Grinch was a good guy in the end, but it's a prequel to the Christmas movie. So, was his heart really
that
small?
Yeah, he turns good, and, well, he apparently, maybe he had no heart at all, and, you know, by the end of this, he got a little heart, and then in the Christmas one, he got the bigger heart.
I'm glad you made sense out of that. Thank you. Because, you know, it's
the Grinch.
All you gotta say is it's Dr. Seuss. That's all you gotta know.
Yeah, exactly. It's Dr. Seuss. The next one that, well, Kylan and I think is pretty big, that I don't know if you guys are real familiar with, but in 1978, a little Canadian company called Nelvana Animation Studio came out with...
I know them.
Came out with The Devil and Daniel Mouse.
Yes! I love this! Oh.
That sounds familiar. I don't think I've ever seen it.
My mom didn't want me watching this. I think I know.
Because they had the devil in it.
The devil!
I had to sneak off and watch this. Oh my... The music was so awesome.
Now, it's based on the classic Devil and Daniel Webster. So it's got the exact same storyline about basically making a deal with the devil and becoming all popular and all that and then beating the devil in the end.
Oh yeah, it was like a rock concert. I think of the devil went down to Georgia, but rock and roll style. And like this is the final scene when Daniel Mouse the devil all of a sudden is like the scared shot. I mean, well,
wow!
This is what happens at the Halloween episode.
Exactly. It did. Like he just like and I'm like
but write it down.
I remember.
It's easier to find this way.
Now,
I don't. You are not wrong. Anymore.
It's possible I actually watched this when it was first on because I would have been like 5 years old. So,
yeah.
I remember being scared though. Like, this was creepy.
Like, you remember the end at the end.
Well, that,
right?
Some of that is also Nelvana's animation.
Yeah,
the
that's
way
true.
They animated
that's
things.
True.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to remember the internet has died on me. But, they also had. But Nelvana, weren't they also. They were the ones that also did. I think they did some of the work on heavy metal, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They did heavy metal.
Yeah.
Later on, actually, for Star Wars Geeks, if I remember right, Nelvana actually did the Droids and Ewoks cartoons later on.
Did they do
any of First the Cat? Because all the animation kind of looks similar.
It's possible.
I don't think they did.
Although, did Nelvana do the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbits movies?
I don't think
No.
It was a very, very similar.
It was a similar look back at the time, though.
Okay.
That was Ralph Bakshi that did that.
Okay.
But I remember that being higher.
And actually, if anything, from that, at this point, you can look at it as it's classic, almost low-budget animation.
Yeah.
It was a low-budget, for that time, a low-budget animation.
That's true.
If that's on Netflix, I'm going to have to go back and watch it again, because that was...
If not, it'll probably be on YouTube.
That's true.
It is on YouTube.
At this point...
I went through my long list, and I looked at clips of everything today, okay?
You did your research.
I was glad I didn't have much to do with work.
So what do we got next?
Next up we have let me see. We're moving into the 80s. There was actually a Halloween special of Benicula the Vampire Rabbit.
Okay.
I remember that.
Some nice architecture.
It was based on the kids' book, and yes, it was a vampire rabbit.
And this is all 20 years before Cam was born, so he has no idea what any of this is.
I was so excited when my niece Becca wanted to get the Benicula vampire bunny books. And I'm like, you don't have to buy them.
I remember reading those when I was 9.
See, that's a cool little series.
That's about the age of her niece.
Yeah.
So you know, they had a pretty decent looking cartoon out for that. And again, YouTube. Now moving further into the 80s. I did want to mention, I do have a couple of TV show episodes on this list because they're definitely worth seeing. I don't know if anyone watched the show Roseanne.
Yeah. Well, what you gotta remember, for a while, even if you didn't watch it originally, it was on syndication all the time. So, and back then, you didn't have a choice in TV. So if you either watching news or you're watching Roseanne.
Right. My mom loved Roseanne. We watched them all. But, Roseanne had, like, the best Halloween episodes.
Yeah.
That was the one, because you would get awesome costumes. They were usually creepy. They were
There is
like
another
the
TV show that's got more, better. They have just sheer volume of Halloween, and I'm sure they're on your list.
Anyway, they were always good for the pranks. I remember, like, that was one of my favorite shows because it made me want to do crazy, bloody, gory makeup effects because they would do that. With everyone, like, there was one where Dan is, like, lying on the table with guts hanging out, like, all over the place. They were awesome episodes, and I don't even remember the plots on them. They were just Halloween episodes that had awesome costumes, and that's what we looked forward to. Mm-hmm. Again, in the 80s, we have a claymation Halloween special called Claymation Comedy of Horrors.
Yeah. There's a...
which, of course, Bart knows. He loves
the company.
Well, Claymation was awesome.
The people
and also,
made
I don't know how we were allowed to watch those.
I know, right?
Before they hit big with the California Raisins, the company, I think it's the same company that did this.
Yeah.
That, they hit a couple of specials in there that they were trying to hit, and they hit okay.
Right.
And then they just hit the big money when they hit California Raisins for three or four years.
It was not... We're not talking just the company. We're talking about the individual person who created the California Raisins. He did the Domino's Pizza Noid. He did the M&M's Red, Yellow, and Green.
Adventures of Mark Twain.
Yes, and Adventures of Mark Twain, which has the creepiest devil thing going on in it. That's definitely worth a watch, and it's on YouTube. But he did this claymation comedy of horrors, which, obviously because the word comedy is in it, it's really not all that scary. It's not, but it's about a pig and a snail.
Okay.
It's Wilshire Pig and Sheldon Snail, and they end up at Frankenstein's castle, and they come across all your typical Halloween kind of stuff. But again, it's claymation, so you know you can't really go wrong. Now, the one I think that Ken may have been talking about, another TV show that every year has Halloween episodes.
It includes what? They're on 25 this year.
They started in season 2 and they're now on season 27, so there's 26 of them.
26 holiday specials.
Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
Oh my god.
And it's different every year.
I have to admit, yeah.
And of course you lose track about what season's going on, you know, because these are kind of timeless and out of sequence sort of things. Like you can watch them at any time. You know, I mean, The Simpsons.
Well, the
is not
whole show is timeless.
What?
I mean, Bart's been in fourth grade for 27 years.
Well, there were some slight ongoing storyline things going on at times.
Very slight.
But the
Maggie's never getting out of diapers.
No, I mean, literally is actual pretty much horror every time.
Yeah.
Like it's creepy. Sometimes it's bloody. There's you know zombies and ghosts and monsters and that.
Aliens.
It's always the alien. It's always the same aliens.
Yes.
The big guys up in the ship. Yeah.
That's right.
For some reason, I always remember that one Halloween special where it was kind of like they did a Cat in a Hat kind of thing going on.
That's been recent too.
Yeah, it was recent.
Okay.
That one's always. I don't know. They're always.
Actually,
that's one that.
But you said 27th season.
27th season.
They had two Halloween episodes last year.
Yeah.
One wasn't officially a Halloween episode, but it might as well have been.
Okay.
Because it was all about Halloween anyway.
Well, see, this is specifically Treehouse.
Yeah.
The rest of them they called.
It wasn't a Treehouse of Horror,
right.
but
they caught up with their specials. Yeah. Roughly the right number.
Wait, was that the clown?
No, that was the Haunted House.
So, just to throw it out there, how long do you think Simpsons is going to go?
I'll be honest with you.
There's nothing else on at that time on Sunday.
Well,
right.
And at this point, Fox is still printing money with Simpsons,
and they don't care about the ratings. I mean, really, do you think they're looking at the ratings of the Simpsons?
They don't need to because the ratings actually, if you look, the ratings are still up there.
People do still enjoy
it. The show manages to stay somewhat topical, and it's familiar now as a brand, and it's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And what it is, the nice thing is, even with the actors, some of the actors have left.
Yeah.
But most of the actors are making regular live action sitcom money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And. Huh? Yeah. Or they're just getting too old, that's why they're being replaced, because they just are no longer with us.
Right.
But that's
true, too.
Doing an animated show like this, if they do it in an ensemble, they can record the whole thing in about 3 hours, and you're done for the week.
Mm-hmm.
You go do whatever you want. Voice actors are always working 17 different things.
Right.
So you come in for like 3 weeks, record the entire season, and you're done to move off. Next year, you come back for another 3 weeks and do Simpsons.
That's right. Well, okay, before we get into the 2000s, because I have a few for that, although they're not really specials, they're more episodes of certain shows, I wanted to mention one that we all have probably not even heard of, let alone not seen, although you can see clips. In 1992, it was called Ghost Watch. It was essentially a Halloween hoax that the BBC put on that traumatized people to the point where they got charged.
Speaking of that, I got probably the most famous Halloween episode of anything. Is once we get there.
Well, yeah, but we don't need to talk about Word of Worlds.
That's probably the most famous Halloween show, a special of any.
That's not a TV show.
You do realize
it was a special though.
TV show.
You do realize
that's because there was
no
TV then.
You do realize that wasn't really a hoax.
Well,
okay, whatever. Can I continue?
Yes.
Okay.
Tom Cruise.
So, Ghostwatch premiered on October 31st, 92. It supposedly aired from North London and alleged to report on the paranormal experiences of the Early family, which was besieged by the actions of a ghostly apparition they called Pipes. Now, at the very beginning of the show, for a split second, they showed a little disclaimer that said this was written by someone. For a split second. Because the BBC wanted people to believe this as a mockumentary. So, the rest of it left only subtle clues that it was an elaborate hoax. And the BBC intended it to really be nothing more alarming than an effective little horror movie sort of thing. But it ultimately led to accusations that they were responsible for someone's death.
What?
Exactly. And part of the problem was this was when mockumentaries were not really well known.
Yeah.
Early 90s. It wasn't something that was well known. And the Brits are very...
dry.
Well, yes.
Stoic.
But yeah, stoic.
Especially
the BBC is like a national treasure. Anything the BBC does, you believe. And they had newscasters, even though this was pre-recorded, they had newscasters on the show reporting things as if they were happening live. They had someone at some phone banks taking calls, supposedly, of people who were reporting things. And so basically this all came through and people were believing it. They even had one of the presenters was preempting other scheduling because extraordinary things were happening. And so they were basically making it look very news-like.
They went all the way on this one.
Exactly. And at the end of the show, it looked like one of the broadcasters was being possessed. And I mean, they all did, like, this was all done straight face and everything. And after the show, they had operators standing by, but they only had 5 operators standing by, and they got quickly overcome by thousands of calls that flooded in. One woman reportedly went into labor because of the stress of the show. like all this stuff, so, and then the BBC aired a segment basically telling people it's fictional, don't worry about it. But of course, it was too late by that point.
So actually, at this point, we do kind of have to bring up War of the Worlds because the same very similar things happened in the 30s when they did that here on regular radio.
Well, not very similar things because it's been blown out of proportion. The stories over time.
It was more of a localized event. There is what it was.
But
for that region,
it
was very similar.
Telling people it was a story.
Yeah.
This they didn't. And even there was a report in the British Medical Journal, doctors reporting kids suffering panic attacks and sleep disturbances because of the broadcast.
Oh, my God.
And then there was a kid, an 18-year-old, who had learning disabilities. And don't laugh at this. This is a serious part. but he became seriously distraught after the broadcast and grew concerned that he might be making contact with ghosts, and he committed suicide.
Oh!
And his parents blamed Ghostwatch and the BBC. They reported to the Broadcasting Standards Council. This program has never again been aired in its entirety in the UK since the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And after more than all of this happening, more than 20,000 phone calls, in 1995, the UK Broadcasting Standards Council ruled that the producers of Ghostwatch had deliberately set out to cultivate a sense of menace and were basically complicit in scaring 11 million people.
Holy crap.
So they did what they were trying to do, actually.
Yes, but...
That's good acting on their part.
I was looking it up, because I want to watch it.
Yeah, we would take this entirely differently, I think, even in the 90s. Like, most Americans wouldn't have really...
We would have been like,
But, like, in the UK, you don't get a lot of television stations. You don't get... You know, there's definitely a more of a limit on what you see on broadcast television.
Right.
And so it's not overly surprising that this sort of thing could happen. But I just thought that, like, I'd never heard of that.
I
saw that come up.
I was looking it up, and they did a retrospective documentary, Ghostwatch Behind the Curtains, based on the film's lasting impact. And it was released on DVD in 2013.
Well,
and I'm like, I want to see.
TV and
Dick Goddard's twitching around like you know, like jump
how many
like
it's Tuesday.
Oh, he's done.
Wait,
yo,
wait,
there's got to him. He's done.
Wait, you mean like it's Tuesday?
Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday for Dick Goddard.
Twitching around like a girl in the ring, just you know, making clicking noises. I'm like, you're done.
And I mean, yeah, you did have War of the Worlds where people believed it because it was so effectively acted. Mm-hmm.
But, that, I mean, like I said, that was, but that was also localized a lot smaller.
Very, yes.
So you had
very.
Small pockets that this was happening in.
Yes.
This good didn't job. Grip the entire country.
This
but then,
didn't air everywhere.
England is not a big country, but it's still
but
enough. That's a lot of people.
A lot of people to affect.
That's
yes.
A million. I mean,
and you go and you go 20 years later, and you have how many mockumentaries that come out all the time?
Yeah,
exactly. Mockumentaries are a big.
My favorite's about Megalodon.
Yeah, Animal Planet's made a career out of making mockumentaries
that's
at this
true.
Point.
And then the mermaid one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite one's the dragon one.
And the Kraken.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
The Kraken.
So then we get into the 2000s finally, and this is on the list for the sake of Kylan, and because Nate's here too, he will appreciate this. There's another TV show that did many Halloween episodes, and there was one that was kind of the best one in particular. The show is called Community.
Mm-hmm. That's on my list. I've not seen it yet.
The particular show, the particular episode was their second Halloween special. It was called Epidemiology. And it was basically they got thrust into a zombie B-movie quarantine nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this was another show where they always had some awesome costumes. They were very culturally aware costumes. Mm-hmm. They were geek culture costumes. They were necessarily so much scary costumes, I believe this may have been the episode. Was this the episode where Abed and what's his face were Calvin and Hobbes, or was that another episode?
No, they did.
They dressed as Calvin and Hobbes, and
I think one of them was Alien, and the other one was he was in the robot.
He was the robot.
Yeah.
So this Community ended up taking a lot of tropes and genre pieces and did entire episodes around them. Mm-hmm. So this became, it did become a zombie movie. It was entirely a zombie movie, basically. Mm-hmm. And they were caught in the school trying to escape zombies, and they were getting killed off one at a time. So, you know, that's one of the more modern ones. It's worth watching.
But was that the one that was like, it started off at, it was like a campus party?
They all started off with campus parties.
Well, it was like a Modern Warfare deal. Oh, but that was a good one. You know, one where dude, with
that. Yeah, but that wasn't a Halloween.
No, that wasn't a Halloween one. Yeah, but like it was a campus party. I forget what everybody got sick.
It was like they thought it was food poisoning.
Okay,
and then they all started turning into zombies.
And they end up getting holed up in the library.
Yeah,
and they were like shooting it out.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Oh man, that was so good. I wish I could see that again.
Well, you probably can't.
They're on either Netflix or Hulu.
Netflix.
One of the other. They're all on Hulu.
And if you can't, you can get the DVD.
Hey, Vern, we know you're there. You can talk.
Okay, we have one that's not an actual sitcom that I thought was worth mentioning as an episode to watch from Supernatural.
Oh,
every episode of Supernatural is a Halloween
special. This is my whole point. This was an episode set at Halloween.
Yes.
It was in 2008. It was season mm-hmm. 4. Mm-hmm. It's called It's the Great Pumpkin Sam Winchester.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Unfortunately, it was not a takeoff on Charlie Brown.
We're on season 11. I don't remember this one. Tell me about this. I've seen every episode, but...
Okay, this was when they went to a small town and there was a witch trying to summon the demon Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
And once Samhain was raised, he would raise all these other demons. Because the witch basically wanted revenge on everybody. As witches do on every Supernatural. witches are never good on Supernatural. They always want revenge on people.
But vampires... Okay,
vampires are iffy.
Okay,
yeah,
demons you can even deal with, but witches never.
Witches are always bad.
I miss me some Benny.
But the interesting thing about this is it's not only set at Halloween, aka Samhain in the tradition, but there's a lot of like urban legend Halloween horrors that happen. Like there are razor blades and candies.
Yes.
That's what kills one person.
Yeah.
someone else is bobbing for apples and the water starts boiling.
Yeah, at the party, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's also zombies and ghosts attacking high schoolers who sneak into a mausoleum and have a party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's got all of these little stereotypical
things.
Yeah, I remember because what it was the Winchesters didn't know it was a witch to start with.
Yeah.
They thought they were actually fighting each individual monster, not realizing that one witch was causing it all.
They
That's why his stuff wouldn't work.
They discovered the hex bags and that kind of thing. And then there was something after them. And actually this, kind of as an aside, introduced Uriel for the first time, the other angel.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
But I think that, if I remember right, the ghosts and zombies were the reason they figured out it wasn't. Because they did the stuff you're supposed to get rid of zombies, and none of that worked.
Nothing
worked. It's like, wait a minute. This is something else.
That's right. Things weren't working, and so then they finally...
It started to click.
Didn't we get a background when they were kids, too? Like a backstory?
I think there was a small amount of backstory from when they were kids on Halloween and, like, nothing happened.
Was this an introduction of hex bags? Because they didn't do much with witches.
No, because, I mean, this was into season four. That wasn't an introduction to it.
I don't know.
They had to have had hex bags
before
that.
That's like where Cass started.
Yes, Cass was.
See, that's another show that we keep teasing.
Four was when they were getting into the angels and demons stuff.
Yeah,
that's another one we keep teasing that at some point we're going to slowly work our way through Supernatural.
It's starting to ramp up to the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Which is season 4
into 5.
Which apocalypse is this one?
The first one.
Okay.
Their first arc went from 1 through 5.
Yeah.
That was their first arc.
And then every season you had an apocalypse at the end of it after that.
But we end up finding out that the Winchesters have a gospel named after them. Because you remember, that's what... Cassiel said in the Book of Winter, he said, well, we have a gospel named
So what else you got on there?
Okay, and one of my last things is some of the most recent stuff of a show that I love called Bob's Burgers. Because I had to go there. It's almost like in the tradition of The Simpsons, because the show it's only been on for a few years, but every year they do have a Halloween special. And the kids are dressed up, obviously there's something goes wrong, and it's spooky. It's not as fun as the other episodes, although... If you look up some of the conspiracy theories about Bob's Burgers, it gets damn creepy, just overall. Okay? Now, in case you didn't know, the original premise of Bob's Burgers was that they were cannibals serving people as burgers. It was a very Sweeney Todd thing.
Really?
Yes, that was the original premise pitched for Bob's Burgers.
Jeez.
They were going to be serving
people. Gee, I wonder why Fox didn't pick that one up.
Fox really should have gone with that.
That's where Adult Swim.
That's right, Adult Swim. So you have, like, 2012, there was one called Full Bars, and I just kind of like the costumes in this one, because you have Louise, little Louise, doing Edward Scissorhands. Tina is a mummy. She's, like, wrapped as a mummy, but she has a baby mummy as well. And Jean is Queen Latifah.
Oh, my
with
God.
With the big hat and everything, early Queen Latifah. Yes, with the Africa necklace, everything. It's awesome. But that's when they go to the rich kids' island to trick or treat there, because they give away full candy bars over there.
Oh, yes. You have to take the ferry.
That's right, they have to take the ferry. The next year you had Fortnite, which was when they got trapped in the cardboard fort. Near the garbage bin.
Yeah.
And
we had the truck backed into you.
That's right. It was a two-layer fort. It was a good fort. And but then the trash, the juices from the trash started to seep in and squish the cardboard, and so they couldn't go trick or treating. But their parents, Bob and Linda, had been working so hard to make them a dragon costume that when the kids didn't show up, Bob and Linda went trick or treating for them, dressed as the dragon. And their neighbors recognized them. Then you have the next year, which was Tina and the real ghost. And they did, like, a seance in the basement because they supposedly had a bug infestation, but people didn't want to get the bugs because they claimed they were haunted, and they supposedly captured a ghost in a box, and then Tina decided to date this ghost. That was her boyfriend. The ghost in the box. And then her rival at school stole the box and started dating him, too. And
this is why I stay away from this show.
This is why it's an awesome show. And last year there was Hauntening, which was one of the best Bob's Burgers Halloween shows. Bob and Linda and the rest of the family try to create a haunted house that will scare Louise. Louise is the unscarable little kid.
Yeah.
And so they try and create it, and it's corny and all sorts of things go wrong, but in the best sort of little horror movie twist, little things start to happen that creep everybody out, and Louise thinks it's not real, but it's real, and she starts getting freaked out, and so they ultimately win and they scare her. But that's the last of what I had for the specials, because that's kind of the most recent up-to-date kind of things. But now you don't get a lot of made-for-TV specials for Halloween, really, because so many stations show either reruns of episodes of TV shows, or they show the usual horror movies and stuff like that.
Right. Well, that, and a lot of the way the TV schedules work anymore, it seems like, you get a lot of TV shows that don't always end up landing on the week that they're scheduled to be.
Yeah.
Depending on what's going on and everything else. So if you have a Halloween special, you never know if you're going to be 2 weeks into November by the time it actually airs.
Right.
Now, the networks are pretty dead on. CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, CW, those guys hit dead on. But when you're talking about other ones, you never know what's going to preempt it when and all this stuff.
Right.
Right.
So it makes it a little harder to make your holiday special for Halloween. Now, the Christmas one you can do because you just put it, okay, it's the last episode before Christmas.
Yeah.
Right.
It's easy to figure that out.
There's always a break. All the shows have Christmas breaks, and so they know when to put it. Anything you show during the month of December is a Christmas special.
Although this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be...
Is it going to be a Doctor Strange special?
That'll be next week.
Is it going to affect
S.H.I.E.L.D.? Where are you going with that?
Well, see, I was just thinking, like, this whole season's always been, like, Halloween Fest season.
Yeah. Well, this has been all about ghosts and Ghost Rider, and the villains that are like dead. But
and I'm thinking especially tomorrow night's episode, or when you guys hear this, it'll have been the previous night's episode.
Kylan, we've been at this for 2 years, and you're still trying to figure this out.
But I'm like, it's
tomorrow. Hey, we all do it.
This week's episode will be. I'm thinking it's gonna be really creepy. No, because it seemed like they've been kind of playing up the whole... You don't think so? Mm-hmm. I don't know, because you have the Darkhold now. You got Ghost Rider, you got the Darkhold, and I think we might see some connection to Doctor Strange in this one.
I'm thinking that the Darkhold's not going to pay off until either the mid-season finale or the end of the season.
Right. I mean, the very fact that they went that deep and brought in the Darkhold, I'm like... You guys got my hat off. Have at it. Go ahead. Last time I did anything with the Darkhold, I was in college, and that was enough of that. I used to play a Marvel role playing game, and we were on a campaign, and we ended up finding the Darkhold, and we had to allow one of the people in our party to get possessed to understand it. Yeah, that was freaky. It was like this adventure that was all very Marvel-y, and then Doctor Strange got involved, and it just got weird after that. Sorry.
As it does.
Yes.
So that's all of our that's actually our Halloween special for this year.
It is.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to thank you guys all for showing up here at the Meeple. Remember, next week for all of us is Con of the Cop. We're there.
That's right.
We're finally there. We've not actually talked about it this week. Remember, November was 10th through the 13th, and Richfield, Ohio is Con of the Cob. Go to conofthecob.com for all the info. We have loads and loads of panels. Now, what's some of the... we know the panels. I know the music. As far as I know, it's still... We've only got 3 music acts this year. And we have Devo Spice is coming back.
Yes.
Name fans of Devo Spice, he will be there. 2D6 is going to be there.
Yes.
And then basically opening the show for them and actually providing all of our music equipment, I want to give a big thanks to our friend Mike McFarlane, who's been on the show with us. He's on the Permanently Geek channel. And Mike's letting us use all the sound equipment and setting that up for us. That is fantastic. Thanks, Mike. And he will have his table set up all weekend. So
he has a game out, by the way.
Exactly. He's demoing his new game.
Ooh.
So that's the music schedule.
Right.
Panels, do we have anything special that we want to talk about on that at all?
Well, we have like almost a full schedule of panels.
Yeah,
starting Friday afternoon through Sunday.
Yeah,
we got a couple of live podcasts in there somewhere.
Yeah, we got a couple of live podcasts. We have we got some paranormal panels. We got
panels on writing, on writing a good fight scene. We got panels on paranormal investigations.
Wait, there's
a
Doctor Who panel.
We got a Doctor Who panel. We got Doctor Who versus Doctor Strange. We're introducing a new kind of panel this year, where it's sort of like a courtroom kind of thing, where we pit one fandom against the other with a judge, and we pick two people to be attorneys to argue for either side. And we let
Miss Dawn's not allowed to be one of them. Or the judge.
Apparently I'm going to be a judge at one of them. I don't know. Then we got...
Are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing?
Here come the judge.
I keep also saying, Inquisition.
I'm sure we have a robe you can wear.
I do have one.
Oh, well, there you go.
Apparently.
There's various geek ones, and there's podcast ones that aren't actual podcasts. It's like Podcasting 101, marketing your podcast, monetizing. There's like things about how to run a podcast, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so so you guys come out.
Well, along with
bring
that,
your mama.
I know the vendor hall has been sold out for months.
Yes.
Yeah.
The vendor hall, he's got probably close to, 150 vendors or more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, all the artists are in the vendor area now, and out in the hallway is the auditorium. Yeah. So he's usually got 15 to 20 artists mm-hmm. that bring all their stuff. The gaming is insane at Con on the Cob. We mm-hmm. have probably, and I know, I don't have the number, but I know Crystal has probably over 1,000 events scheduled.
Yes. The best
easily.
Part though is you don't have to pay to play each game.
Exactly. No. Con on the Cob is free to
one
play.
One badge price, that's yep. it.
All the parties, all the
and
gaming.
Actually, a badge actually, for the full weekend is the same price as 2 days.
Yes.
So,
yep. might as well get one for the
weekend.
Yep.
And also, speaking of parties.
Speaking of parties.
Speaking of parties.
We do have the return of the Big Bad Brownie Bake Off Bonanza.
You guys keep trying to make it different
I don't
names
know.
Every single time.
That's because we can never remember the name.
It's just the Big Brownie Bake Off Bonanza.
Big Brownie Bake Off Bonanza.
Now, you are his power. Just say that and you don't have to remember anything
well,
else.
Go to Miss Dawn, you put up a post on our website, didn't you?
I did. I put up a post on Sunday. And I have shared it on our Facebook page and pinned it to the top. I pinned it to the top of Facebook so that everyone could get it. It has all the details. We actually have a theme for our party as well. Because, as you know, we're doing it as a bit of a memorial to our dear friend Rick Shantieri, who so many people knew as the Ninth Doctor. So we have made this one the Party Across Time and Space. And it's going to have a bit of a galaxy and Doctor Who theme, and we encourage you to dress as your favorite Doctor Who characters. And it will also include our second annual Brownie Bake Off. If you want to enter brownies, you have to drop them off, look for the directions on the website, at between 8 and 8:30 on that Friday.
And we're not having just a panel of judges this time.
No.
We're changing it a little bit. Everybody at the party gets a chance to sample these brownies and cast their vote.
That's right. We're going to basically do it kind of buffet style, and we're going to mark all the brownies with their own little letter or something, and then you can cast your ballot as to your favorite brownie. But we'll let it go for probably about an hour into the party, and then we will tabulate and announce the winner.
There you go.
Okay. And then all the regular parties you guys are used to is going to be there. Actually, there's a change to one of the parties this year.
Uh-oh.
On the first night, Thursday night party, he's always had the fancy schmancy artist soiree thing, which... was basically just a meet and greet with some of the artists and things like that, but this year he's changing it up.
Yep.
So that this year is actually the welcome, I believe it's called Welcome to the Con party. And what it is a chance for you to come in, because that's one thing I've noticed at Con of the Cob is there's those of us on staff that and the people coming have no idea who those are.
Right.
So if you have a question or something, you don't know who to talk to.
Right.
Well, this party is a chance, and it is a party. And you get a chance to hang out, and Andy will introduce the staff, tell you what Con on the Cob is, and all of this. So it's great for new first-timers. It's great for people who have been there forever that want to come in and just hang out and say hi to all their friends. It's just a great time. So
it's
don't
great
skip out on
Thursday. Julianne French fries, too.
Well, the thing of it is that he used to do that for the artists, and that's why it was the artsy, fartsy one.
But he pointed out that people got confused and thought it was just for artists.
Right, yeah, because I would help set up for that party, and then there'd be, like, just a few people, and I'm like, I know there's more than just this at the con today.
Yeah, it's kind of like a general meet and greet.
Yeah.
You know, just stop in for a few minutes, even if you want, just to see who's there and
mm-hmm.
know what's going on.
Maybe the guys from Soul Decision.
And there's free
there.
Food and drinks. Come on, people.
That's
show up.
My whole point.
Is drinks, you mean alcohol?
Like we
yes.
said.
Like vodka and Henny.
In rum?
Or bring your own.
Well, like I was saying, the third... Well, you said the two-day badges are the same price as the four-day. Don't skip out on Thursday night. Even if you have to work Thursday, come over to the afterwards. The party doesn't start until, what, 9?
Yeah.
8:30, 9 o'clock. Come in, hang out for an hour or so, and then you can head back home, go to work, or whatever.
No, you don't go to work. If you grown, you don't have to go to work. Come party to like.
Man, if you're grown, you gotta make the money so you can afford.
This is what you do. My barber told me back in 1997. He said, "You know what?" He said, "My old lady tried to tell me what to do. You know what I did?" I said, "What?" He said, I pull out my driver's license. I threw it down on the table. I said, "That right there says I'm grown. I got one mama, and I don't need two." Ooh. That's what he said. Yes, and you know what?
Now he is single.
Yeah. Like I said, he walked up to his wife, looked her right in the eye, said, "Yes, dear," and moved on.
So that wraps it up at the Con in the Con. We hope to see you there. Let us know if you're going to be there, too. You can tweet us or write to us or something. Let us know.
Put it on Instagram or MySpace.
Don't put it on MySpace.
We're not on MySpace.
People still use Dig.com.
No one will see it on MySpace.
Friend Room.
And with that...
LinkedIn.
And with that, I want to, like I said, thank you everybody for hanging out with us and spending their Halloween evening with us. You can always, remember, go to geekwatch1.com to find all the information about the show. Also, send us emails over at geekwatch1@gmail.com. All social media known to man, except for MySpace. You keep interrupting
me. We've never been on Hotmail. We have a Gmail address and that's all.
Disregard the Hotmail. We're not on there.
Well, all social media except for MySpace.
That's right.
Is GeekWatch1.
Oh my god.
It's GeekWatch1. So, for everybody sitting around, and for Vicky and Kylan and Miss Dawn, and like I said, everybody, just remember.
Hey, I have a name.
No matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.